Have you been asked to teach at a retreat, seminar, or Bible study? Are you ready? Today we will give you 3 points to focus on in preparing your notes so that you can be the best public devotional speaker possible.
Hi, I'm Matt, the Development Coordinator for the Truth and Hope Foundation, Sofia, Bulgaria.
And I'm Sheree Frizonki, the author of the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum.
This episode of Go in Peace is brought to you by listeners, supporters, and friends of our ministry.
Today is Switch It Up Podcast Day, which means we bring you practical topics and how to disciple via special tips, guest speakers, or simple how-tos.
Special Edition, Episode 2. Today in our podcast, we are discussing how to teach at a Bible study, retreat, or seminar.
So I'm really excited about our special edition podcast because something that I've seen happen when people start using the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum and they start a ministry at their church or in the community, I see that a lot of times they start getting asked to give their testimony. That's why we did the previous special edition podcast. Or they start to get asked to teach at a Bible study or a retreat or a seminar. And a lot of times that's way out of their comfort zone. They're like, oh my goodness, how do I do that? And so we want to help equip you to be able to do that and to have confidence when you do it, even though you'll be scared, and to just help you be the best person in this ministry that God has called you to be. And I know it's exactly what happened in my own life when I started this ministry. First, I just wanted to minister to one or two or a couple people at a weekend retreat. And then all of a sudden, He was opening up these doors, sometimes huge doors for me, that were really scary. But the other thing I've seen is that it's a real important step in this ministry, because a lot of times what happens is I'll be asked to teach at a one-day seminar. Like, for example, just yesterday I was in Sofia at a brand new church I've never worked with, and I did an all-day seminar, and it basically was the Go in Peace message. The first session was basically my testimony and how I had this hole in my heart, and I used sort of the steps that I taught you in the previous special edition podcast on testimony. So if you didn't hear it, find it on our website and listen to it. And then the second session was all about how to recognize what's going on in the depth of our heart and how to be set free from that. And the third session was what forgiveness is, how to forgive that person that hurt you. Yet it's the seminars and the Bible studies and the retreats that then make people hungry for this message. And so they want to then go through the curriculum. So a lot of times God uses these types of events to open the door to invite them to your next Go in Peace weekend or to do one-on-one discipleship with them. And so that's why I feel really strongly that it's something that we want to help equip you to do and to do to the best of your ability so that God can just use it to minister to that person, because God's called us to go and make disciples. And so I'm really excited about that.
And I think one of the first tips that we're going to kind of touch on this, it's almost a disclaimer. You know, it's like if you don't know God's truth yourself, then maybe you shouldn't be doing it. You know, like, so we need to be making sure that we're reading God's word on our own and
exactly
understanding His character, understanding what the extent of His mercy is and all of His characteristics. So that way, when people come to us with those questions and needs, or we are sharing up on stage, that we aren't describing characteristics or qualities of God that are not His. We need to make sure that we're studying His word and speaking God's truth. And if we aren't doing it on our own, you know, we could kind of find ourselves taking verses out of context or trying to make our own statement be made without understanding that what we're doing is we're using God's word to kind of say something that the Bible doesn't actually say. We're just using it in a coincidental it's part of our speech.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we want to give you 3 points today as you're putting your notes together. And as Matt just said, the first one is we must know God's truth ourselves. And so if we don't know God's truth, then we're just up there just faking it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God would never want that of us. Mm-hmm. And especially if you've already gone through Go in Peace and God really ministered to you through the Go in Peace curriculum, then you know God's truth. You've experienced that yourself personally, which is also the point number two. Not only must we know God's truth ourselves, we must experience God's truth personally. And as we experience His truth, we're able to share it and teach it in a more strong, powerful way than if we don't know it at all, you know?
Yeah. I'm kind of one of those guys that still believe that our active walking life is still part of God's creation. You know, God's still moving very much so in our lives today. And some people, you know, their mindset is, oh, God's off in a far distant world and He doesn't interact with us anymore. But I don't think that that's true. And I don't see that being, that's not a biblical concept at all. And so if we do see where God has been moving and intervening in our lives, then we are able to share that in a way where that makes God alive today and not something of some old dusty book that, you know, like is of the past. Because we do know that God does want to let Himself be exposed by our heart and our acts of love and mercy towards one another. Like mm-hmm. that's how we are able to use our own bodies as vessels for God's Holy Spirit to expose other people to God's heart, you know. And I think that when we actually accept that notion that we are a vessel and we are to be used that way, then we understand that we are a part of this ministry that God is wanting to do in other people's lives around us. And then that's what kind of gives us, I feel like, that story of this is what God was able to do in my life, and this is how I went from this person that was an empty vessel to somebody who is full of God's Spirit, and now I'm going through and doing these things. And that's what really is kind of the messages that kind of encourage me at times, because I see that real life application of this is what God's word says, this is how it inspired this person, and this is how that person then moved on and did something based on that inspiration. And I go, wow, that's really cool. I think that maybe that those promises or those encouraging verses are also in God's word for me too. And I think that's what would make someone's audience hungry to go into God's word and go see what He has for them.
Exactly, exactly. And if you think about it, who are your favorite Bible teachers? You know, are they someone who just teaches intellectually, you know, or are they somebody that's also bringing in their life with real application? Because for me personally, those are the teachers I love, because it makes God's word more understandable to me. You know, when we look at the Bible, it's at least 2,000 years old. If it's in the Old Testament, it's older. And so the parables that Jesus was teaching with are from that time period. Yet, Jesus always taught with parables, didn't he? And so when we as Bible teachers today, we can take real life situations and teach with that, because that's a parable of today that people can then understand. And yeah, it makes it so much more enjoyable. You keep the person's attention, and you also are teaching them application, which is key.
Yeah. No, I do agree that parables, for me at least, because I'm kind of an artistically minded person, when you start describing like an animal's like this and it does this, and like I can picture this in my head. But sometimes when you're giving a message with only theological terms and stuff like this, it can kind of become a blur in my head. Or maybe I'm writing some notes down and stuff, but then the bridge between the theology and the application, I missed it, you know, in the teaching. You know, I wrote down a bunch of notes, but now how am I getting it into the application?
Right, exactly, exactly. Yeah. And we want to be that bridge for the person. We want, you know, it's one thing to give somebody a verse. I mean, maybe you've done this, you've had the heart, you have the heart to minister to people. A lot of people start out by knowing that God's word is all sufficient, right? Mm-hmm. And He has the answers. So a lot of times when we first start out in a ministry to minister to the hurting, we give somebody a verse. And we're expecting that their life is going to be changed with this verse. And we wonder sometimes, why didn't that person change? We gave them the answer. Well, what happened is we didn't teach them the practical way to apply that verse to their life. So they're missing that bridge that you're talking about. They can't jump from the theology to the practical over this huge, you know, gorge, you know? Yeah. And so we need to provide that bridge. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things, as you're preparing your notes, think about that. And the three points we want to talk about today is, one, we've already talked about it, we must know God's truth ourselves, which means we need to be in daily devotions, being at church, being taught ourselves. Two, we must experience the truth personally. And if you're bringing in the Go in Peace message, I'm sure you've already experienced that personally. Don't be afraid to bring it in. It doesn't mean that you have to give somebody all your personal details or whatever. You know, you don't have to share anything you don't want to, but by experiencing the truth personally, your teaching is going to be so much more alive.
Yeah, I was going to say, encourage them to step out boldly and share that stuff, because that's the stuff that really perks the audience's ears up and going like, whoa, like
that's
this is
true.
Like, this person's being really honest. But like you said, if you're really like not comfortable sharing that kind of information with an audience, or there's no way to like say it without actually, you know, bringing someone else's name into the situation,
right,
or something like that. Yeah. Use wisdom in that. But if you're able to share real true circumstances,
right,
that were happening in your life, then I think people are a lot more willing to like kind of like keep their attention, because
right,
now we're not talking about once upon a time, we're talking about this happened to me personally,
right,
first person.
And what you say is so true. I didn't mean like don't share your own story, but you don't have to share all the super personal parts.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, you know, there's sometimes I share about how I've had two abortions as a teenager, you know, it just depends on the place, but there's sometimes I don't share that. So if there's something you're uncomfortable with sharing, don't share, unless you really feel like the Lord's calling you to share. But for the most part, yes, definitely bring in your whole life. And sometimes, like this weekend when I was sharing yesterday, there were two little children there,
mm-hmm,
that were about 6 or 7, mm-hmm, and I'm going to give my testimony about abortion. So I just said, okay, for a few minutes, I just want to say I'm going to talk about a subject that's only for adults.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, I noticed that there's a couple little ones in the room, so you might want to just take them out and wait in the hall and we're call you back in. It's up to,
mm-hmm,
you, but at least I'm warning them and they're not,
yeah,
sitting there going, oh my goodness, what's she talking,
yeah,
about here?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it also helps, because if you have like one kid in the audience,
yeah,
you're like, oh man, I really felt like God is putting it on my heart to share this topic,
right,
in my message, but this one kid's going to stifle me.
Exactly.
But if you just can boldly say, hey, I'm going to say this,
right,
now's the time to take the kids out of here, you're able to control the audience and the atmosphere,
right,
in a way that you can then say the message that God is putting on your heart,
exactly,
to say, instead of letting, you know, one child or a couple kids kind of control what you say,
right,
or what God's putting on your heart.
And then I got to a point in my testimony where I don't need to mention that word anymore, and so I told somebody in the back, hey, can you go tell them to come back,
mm-hmm,
in? And now everybody knows what I'm talking,
mm-hmm,
about, you know,
mm-hmm,
you guys, you know, and they can follow along where I'm,
yeah,
going, and the little children can be in the room, definitely.
Yeah.
So our first point was, we must know God's truth ourselves. We must experience the truth personally. And point number three is, we must know the people we minister to so that we may better apply the truth to their needs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes I remember when I first read this, in fact, the three points we took today are from a book by Warren Wiersbe and David Wiersbe called The Elements of Preaching. And when I went to Calvary Chapel Bible College, I took a public devotional speaking class years and years and years ago. This tiny little book was our curriculum for that class. And I love it because it's just so rich with nuggets. But in his first chapter, he has probably about 5 points, but we're hitting on three of them. When I first read that, we must know the person we minister to so that we may better apply the truth to their needs, I'm like thinking, okay, we need to minister to people that we personally know. But that's not it. There's a lot of times that I'm asked to teach at a retreat that I don't even know anybody there. You know, I might have not even met the pastor's wife or the woman who leads the ministry, you know, until the day I show up. Maybe I've only talked to her on the phone. Yet, how can I minister to the people personally, even if I don't know them?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things, the point that Wiersbe makes is very important. We must know the people we're ministering to so that we may better apply the truth to their need. So how can we do that if we've never met them before?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I'm always doing when I'm preparing my notes is I'm asking the Lord, I'm like, Lord, you know every single person who's going to be at that event.
Mm-hmm.
You know their struggles, you know their needs, You even know the areas that they're victorious in life. But Lord, how can I minister to them? And so one of the things I usually do when I'm teaching also is you only have, I forget how long, I'll have to look it up maybe for the next special edition podcast, but you only have a very short window to grab a person's attention, to keep that attention for, say, a 45-minute mm-hmm. teaching. Mm-hmm. And it's something like 2 or 3 minutes. It's short. And so when you first come up to that podium, how are you going to grab their attention to have them want to listen in? And especially if we're new at public speaking, we usually go up to that podium, we're nervous, and we start to talk about things that aren't relative and are relevant.
Yeah.
And because of that, we're losing that precious time to grab mm-hmm. their attention mm-hmm. for the next 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so what I usually do is I start with a hook. And I try to start with a hook of where the person is. And so depending on the topic I'm teaching on or the theme, I might just ask them a question. Hey, are any of you struggling with fear or insecurity? Or so I'll pray as I'm putting my notes together, Lord, what's that first or second sentence in the hook? Like yesterday, for example, I was praying, Lord, what's my hook? How am I going to grab the attention? I'm going to start with my testimony. That's not a hook for them. My testimony is about me. How's that going to reach them? We have to think about the audience. How are we going to reach them? Mm. And so that's what my question was. I'm like, Lord, how do I start this? And when I got up to the mic, I just said, are you guys ready? Are you ready for what God wants to do in your heart today? I said, you are here by a divine appointment. Do you know that? Do you know that God brought you here for a very special reason? Are you excited to find out what that reason is? And so the hook of the beginning message, it's not about me, right? Because we always want everything to be about Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. not us. Mm-hmm. And so when we think about, we must know the people that are there. I know that those women coming into that seminar, they're hurting. Mm-hmm. They're struggling. You know, maybe they're wondering whether God is even real anymore. Does he listen to what they're saying? Mm-hmm. And so even though we might not personally know the people, we still, as a whole, if we pray about it, we can think about the things they're struggling with and meet their need through Jesus.
Yeah. And especially if it's a big cultural barrier too, you know, for these people, you know, listening right now from America, if you're going to a third world country and you're sharing about something, think about what these people might be struggling with before you give your teaching. You know, think about what are you going to say that is going to be, you know, at least common on their terminology, or what are some of the things that they struggle with that you know, from their perspective to you is something that you have never experienced before, you know, especially with America being such a wealthy country. If you go and you're trying to share to other people, you know, how they just need to stay, you know, faithful, that God's going to provide for them, they're looking at you going, well, yeah, you're from America. You can say that because
exactly.
you're rich. You know, what about us? Like, we aren't. We don't know where our next meal is going to come from.
Right.
So we just have to be sensitive, because you could still teach them the ways to be faithful and that God will provide. But, you know, just be making sure that we're teaching it in a way where we at least understand where they're coming from and what their circumstances too, because like you said, it's not just about us and just kind of shouting something. It needs to be received, and it needs to be received in a way that's going to give Christ glory.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And even though, like, we might be, Matt and I are serving in Bulgaria here, you know, and we were born and raised in America, you know, even if you're only serving in America, when you're going to, maybe you're 40 or 50 years old and you're speaking to teenagers, mm-hmm. you're going into a different culture.
Yeah.
Those teens are a different culture. And so how are you going to catch their attention? So many times I would go to teach purity seminars, you know, and the kids are dragged there by their parents. They're slouching in their seats. Their arms are crossed. They're like looking, what does this old woman, what can she say to me, you know? And as I start sharing my testimony of when I was 16 and the wrong choices I made, they changed their whole posture. They're leaning forward in their seats. I caught their attention. And how did I do that? I reached out to their culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so no matter where you're teaching, there's going to be sometimes even a culture, even within America, that it's a different culture you're reaching. It could be teenagers. It could be you're going to a poor community, or maybe you're even going to a rich community. Maybe you're from the poor community and you're going to talk talked to a group of ladies, you know, from a very wealthy neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, they still have needs. Mm-hmm. Everyone still has mm-hmm. needs. Yeah. So reach those needs.
Good points.
Well, thank you very much, and we hope that this podcast ministered to you. Feel free to ask any questions, and also join our group of Go in Peace leaders if you want to join a like-minded group of people who have a heart like you to minister. So we thank you so much for listening in today. God bless.
This has been a Go in Peace Leaders discussion topic with Sri Verzonki and myself, Matt Laster, based on the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum. If you would like to join a group of Go in Peace leaders for encouragement, support, and prayer from like-minded disciplers, click on the Facebook group link provided. May God richly bless you as you serve Him.